we're going to see advancements in humanoids and robots literally at an exponential pace over the next 36 months. So we need to be figuring out two things. One, how are the humanoids going to be coming into the workforce? May that be at a warehouse or a distribution center, or may it be literally in surgery?
Welcome to Lawmaker Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community. Joining us for the first part of the show is Republican Representative Todd Jones of South Forsyth. He is chairman of the House Committee on Technology and Infrastructure Innovation. Welcome to Lawmakers again. We love having you on, and there's always a lot to talk about, so let's get started.
Okay.
There are so many issues to explore. Let's start with the workforce. You would like a committee to explore the potential for humanoid robots in Georgia to work. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. We're going to see advancements in humanoids and robots literally at an exponential pace over the next 36 months. So we need to be figuring out two things. One, how are the humanoids going to be coming into the workforce? May that be at a warehouse or a distribution center, or may it be literally in surgery, or may it be in education, or maybe in engineering or architecture. The second thing we need to be able to do is literally look at how are humans going to work with the humanoids and the robots to basically create leverage to get greater productivity. So we got a lot going on here, and we need to make sure Georgia's ready.
Let's break some of this down. So when it comes to education, you were saying when it comes to the humanoid robots, we may see these assistants with the teachers that are robots.
100%. So when you think about, there's areas within Georgia that unfortunately we are understaffed significantly inside of pre-K, inside of K-12, well, even going into our technical colleges, et cetera, we want to make sure that we can put these humanoids as assistants to, say, a pre-K teacher, assistants to a kindergarten teacher, because in every public school in the state of Georgia, we do have two individuals inside of pre-K, inside of K. Why not have a humanoid as the assistant when we can't get a human to do it? And the great thing about it is we get to upload the humanoid with the best practices of the best assistants within the state, and literally almost every day update their skill set so they are being a great productivity tool for the teacher and hopefully a great education tool for our students.
We do have to talk about the fears that people may have. Sure. That it's going to take away jobs.
Well, there's no doubt that, look, we have seen, we can go back to the Pony Express. We can go back to, I remember when ATM machines were going to take out the bank teller. I remember when Excel was going to make an accountant useless, when in fact we have more accountants today than we've ever had. In many ways, we will take the bottom rung of the ladder out. There's no doubt about that. At the same time, though, we will add rungs on the top of the ladder, just like we've seen in tech, for instance. The CIO and the CTO didn't even exist inside of most companies 30 years ago, yet today there isn't a mid-tier company that doesn't have a CIO or a CTO, and then a large company has both. We're going to see that upskilling. So for us, one of the challenges and one of the opportunities we have is to make sure that as we see different skill sets become, I'll say, obsolete, how do we take that individual and do just-in-time training to upskill them? So for instance, if today I had a chance, I'd love to upskill people in 3D CAD. I'd love to upskill people in CNC finishing. These are things that our technical colleges do for you, and we can do those in quick certificates. I think the days, and people may not want to hear this, 5 years from now, it's going to be doubtful that we're going to have students at the TSG level or even the USG level going for years at a time without basically breaking that up into education, real world, because the world's going too fast and we can't just take them out of that world for 2 to 4 years.
So we're not going to do 2 to 4 years. We're going to say, do a couple of years, learn a little bit, get out there in the world and find out about it. Let's talk about K-12 though.
Sure.
And before.
Yeah.
So how do you prepare students for jobs we don't even know about?
So I think how we prepare them is constantly getting, making sure that they understand to lean into these productivity tools. One of the challenges we had literally just a couple years ago was, should we lean into AI because, quote, kids were going to cheat? I'm putting that in quotes. Well, no doubt, they were absolutely starting to use it for its most fundamental things, which is, can you write an essay? Can you write a book report, et cetera? But what we started to see, those schools that were being most successful with AI was actually teaching the children to lean into these productivity tools. And then the expectations of those children are even higher because we're expecting you to do what you can do plus what the tool should have done for you. Now, suddenly, instead of going here, The child's going to go to here. I think it's a win-win all around, as long as we make sure that the child understands how they can work with the tools. And then as they're going through K-12, by the time they get to high school, they're just constantly upskilling themselves and upskilling themselves. Look, there's the days of getting an education, may it be high school, TCSG or USG, is over. We must all be lifelong learners now. So basically, cradle to grave, you have to be saying to yourself, I'm going to learn, because my profession, no matter what it is going to be impacted by technology.
Yeah, we've been saying for a while now, people who stay at jobs for 30 years, that doesn't happen anymore. No. And it won't be able to.
No.
With what you're talking about.
No. And what's beautiful is, I think you're going to see the free market move towards education that is literally being done in a matter of minutes, a matter of hours, as opposed to being done in a matter of days, weeks, and quarters. And it's going to be really interesting how we can upskill you so quickly, and we can get into a myriad of different examples. I'll even say forklifts. There are forklifts now that are coming out with advanced technology that literally there are 10-minute videos that allow you to upskill yourself to be prepared to use that forklift if you had been using the prior forklift. 10 minutes, is that worth upskilling? Absolutely. And we put them into the position to really upskill their productivity.
There will still be jobs, though, that people will need, that will only be able to require people to be there, right? Well, I think that's the fear, that people won't be around anymore.
Well, I think there's a couple things we're going to have to do. First, there will definitely be jobs that, quote, people. Like interpersonal relationships are probably always going to be interpersonal, no matter how hard the humanoid wants to try to be us. I think the second thing is that we need to basically get people to understand that embracing the technology is going to allow them to be able to reach levels that they never could. Let's take a lawyer. You're hearing so much about a junior lawyer is not going to be needed anymore. That's hogwash. What's going to occur is, instead of the junior lawyer taking on 10 cases, they're going to be able to take on 30 cases, 40 cases, 50 cases. They may be thinking that's crazy, but in fact, with the productivity tools, that's where they're going to get to. It's the same thing with the distribution worker or the warehouse worker, who today may be expected to move 300 items. Tomorrow might be 500 items, but all because of the fact of the productivity gains that we're going to have in technology.
And you see that this at all levels, just about all levels. So we've talked about this before. Talk about transportation. We've already seen the changes. We have Waymos all over the place. You've come on and talked about air taxis.
Yeah.
And we certainly see the little boxes that go around and deliver food all the time. I found one with my name on it.
Yes.
It was named Donna. I took a picture of it. But we're seeing that already.
Mm-hmm.
More with transportation, what more would we see coming up?
Look, I think you're going to see mass transit vis-a-vis autonomous. So you're going to have autonomy, if you can imagine, starting, let's just use a typical corridor. The top of 400 go all the way up to Dawsonville, and you'll have maybe 10 autonomous buses attached to each other through NFC, near field communication. Each one of those buses will hold maybe 20. They're going to go down 400 at about 100 miles an hour. The first bus will get off at Dahlonega. The next bus will get off at Cumming. The next bus will get off at Alpharetta. You get my point. All the way down to, say, Midtown. Imagine we didn't have to build rail and spend $1 billion. We didn't have to get right-of-ways. We're literally going to be able to provide mass transit, but just because of the fact that we took a different application of AV. We already know that AV within our personal cars and our commercial cars, our commercial trucks, is going to be here in 5 to 10 years. I believe we're going to see mass transit in that same time period. But imagine being able to do that and be able to have mass transit do the last mile with individual pods. It's going to be pretty cool.
We're showing the video right now, the air taxis, and I know you've talked about them. Is it still the plan to have the air taxi, the first one, to go up during the big FIFA soccer match?
The big World Cup.
Yeah, World Cup.
So we are imploring the federal government to give us that waiver.
Okay.
We believe that having it there at World Cup, I think it's important for two reasons. One, clearly we want to be the first state of Georgia. But two, being able to continue to morph. We're number one in business, but we want to be the most innovative state in the union. And having us have that air taxi land, first one in the country, we think would put us at the top of that heap.
We're going to still wait for that. Real quick, I want you to talk about farming.
Okay.
And how it has changed. That's the biggest, that's our biggest industry in the state, agriculture.
Yeah.
You're seeing that the AI and the robotics happening there.
It is profound. when we think about the entire life cycle of agriculture. So if we're talking about crops, for instance, let's take livestock to the side. With crops, we're talking about literally seeds all the way to harvesting. There is not a place in that value chain where we're not seeing education make a profound difference in terms of the optimization of the seed, the hybridization of the seed, pest control, all the way down to water usage, and then all the way to harvesting. I'm sure many people have seen on the show right now, they've seen literally on Twitter or any other social media, we've seen literally robotic harvesters of nearly any crop. So we are going to see more and more AI, more and more machine learning, literally going into the machines and going into what I'll just say the nanotechnology to produce the seeds that we need to optimize for our conditions.
Does this mean the farmers are going to be able to, well, there's still some things there's no control of, you know, and that is Mother Nature and, you know, the rain they need and those kinds of things, storms that may come through. Yeah. But can they afford some of these technology issues, the things that they may want to buy?
You hit the best point. And you also have, you know, what I call is basically FOMO, the fear of missing out, but you also have the fear of being too soon. So we have farmers who are saying, look, this is a seven-figure investment, and I'm hearing you that I'm seeing all this productivity, but it seems like it changes every 6 months, so why don't I wait 6 more months before I make the seven-figure investment, because then I'll get version 2, version 3, version 4. So one of the challenges that we're having in ag tech right now is how do we stop the FOMO, how do we get that commitment made, and how does the state participate in creating that surety? One of the things the state is talking about working with you with UGA and all the extensions is basically putting people in to the field to get people comfortable with the tech, get people to know how to use the tech, and let them know that if they buy version 1, chances are we can help them with the upgrade to version 2, version 3, version 4.
Yeah, and we have UGA's Grand Farm in Cary, Georgia that's already doing a lot of this stuff.
Great showcase for ag tech, and what we're looking to do next year is to literally bring the country in to show that the state of Georgia doesn't just lead on ag, the state of Georgia leads on ag tech, and the Grand Farm is a great way for us to show that.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the Gold Dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.